everyone. I'm Heidi.
And I'm Brittany.
And this is Transforming Together, the Hope Works podcast.
Yes. And this month we are transforming the way that we talk about gender pronouns.
So actually, why don't we go ahead and reintroduce ourselves the way we might in a workshop. So hi, everyone. I'm Heidi. And I use they, them, theirs pronouns.
Yes, and my name is Brittany. My pronouns are she, her, and hers.
So sharing pronouns is an important part of things that we do in most workshop settings, that we do in our email signatures, that are on our name tags, on our doors. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about why pronouns are so important, and may specifically zoom in on my pronouns a little bit, since my pronouns are not ones that everyone knows or is familiar or comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouted it out a little bit, I think, in our June or July podcast way back when I was still kind of in an exploratory phase with my gender, but I'm now pretty solidly identifying as gender non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about what that means and do a little bit of myth busting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to, just as like a framing plug, we're going to connect this really to like our personal experiences and like the interpersonal experience of sharing pronouns, respecting pronouns. But we also really want to connect this to the macro and the broader view of things and really connect how this is very much integrated with the work that we do at HopeWorks and ending sexual and gender-based violence.
Yeah, because remembering to use someone's pronouns might seem like a little thing, but it's really mm-hmm. definitely connected to structural ways that privilege and power and violence
yes.
play out.
Yeah. So this just feels like really timely for us. This is a conversation that we've been wanting to have for a while, but this is so much bigger than a 30-minute conversation. So we're really going to be very intentional about editing ourselves and kind of staying on a clear path in this conversation. I think it's just been really interesting for Heidi and I, who work together, who very often pair up together. And, you know, we've talked about my transitioning to a different department that's kind of separate. But like when we go out and we facilitate in the community together, it's very common, or even in emails, because I present, and I think Heidi's name is Heidi, and that's typically associated with femininity and girls and women. I also present as like very clearly like cis feminine woman. And so I think those two things combined, a lot of folks will refer to Heidi and I as, hey, ladies. And it's just it's a really common thing. And we know that the intention is not harmful, but we want to unpack a little bit the difference between intent and impact.
Yeah. So that statement in and of itself might be confusing for some people. Why would seeing the two of us and saying, hey, ladies, have any harm? So I'll explain things a little bit more first for me. So when I say that I identify as gender non-binary, for me, that means personally, I was assigned female at birth. Mm-hmm. And so that is my sex. But my gender that I align with is not strictly as a woman and also not strictly as a man. It's kind of this fluid in between thing, and that definition varies for different mm-hmm. non-binary yes. or genderqueer people, but I definitely don't identify as a woman, and I don't always present super feminine, but I have a body and curves that people mm-hmm. combined with my name automatically read as feminine. And so when someone, and I tell people my pronouns, and I'm really appreciative of when folks use them correctly. I don't get upset automatically when people use she, her pronouns for me, because they may not know or they may have forgotten. But when folks, whether they know that or not, whether they've not even met me or not, things like ladies or she or her or hey girls to describe mm-hmm. me really kind of hits my heart in a way that whether that person means to or not, it's an invalidation. And mm-hmm. it's a, you're never going to be seen the way that you want other people to see you. Mm-hmm. The who you are inside is invisible or made up or not.
Not important enough yeah. to be uncomfortable. Because I think that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. I do think for a lot of people, it is just a difficult switch in like grammar and like mental process. And so that is real, that is valid, and it's still absolutely 100% worth every effort to try a different way and like respect how someone is essentially telling you, I need and want to be loved and acknowledged and interacted with. So we're just going to dive right into it. We've used, I'm sure, some terms that a lot of people may not be familiar with. We kind of talked about, you know, this term non-binary, and so that is connected to this idea that right now we exist within a gender binary between male and female. There's also some terms that we might use, like cisgender, which is, it refers to someone whose assigned sex at birth is in alignment with their gender identity. We don't want to do too much of a vocabulary lesson here because we really want to dig in to the meat a little bit more, but we'll try our best to catch ourselves around certain terms. And then a lot of this is very, very Googleable. Like, there's a whole lot of information out there, and we definitely want to try and tackle as much as we can while recognizing we can't do it all. And there's a lot of resources available to support folks in learning more.
Yeah, so we encourage you to educate yourself. Mm-hmm. I also want to appreciate what you said right before that, Brittany, about listening to someone when they tell you how they want to be loved. Okay. And I've so deeply appreciated your support of me over the past couple of months, almost a year, as I've been figuring things out about myself and really being a fierce advocate for me in our office space and in spaces in public. And it just really means the world to me every time.
I'm smiling awkwardly because I just love you. And I've really been honored to be a part of your process and your journey in feeling more authentically connected to yourself. So I just, any way that I can support you and love you in that way, I'm very honored and humbled to get to partake.
So we're not going to cry yet. Yeah. Not going to cry yet.
So we're just going to start with some, like, why? Why do pronouns matter? Pronouns are typically what we think of when we're referring to another person, either in the written language or verbally. It's, you know, that person over there, they are doing this, or she is doing that, or he is doing that. Typically, we just think he and she, and really this conversation is busting that open because there's others, Z, Zir, he, here with an I. There's so much that we could talk about. We won't get into that fully, but really it's just, how do we refer to a third person in a conversation?
And so often the first thing that people come up against if you're trying to use they, them as a singular pronoun, which mm-hmm. I do, and it absolutely is, hey, wait, I thought they was a plural word only.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, they has been used as a singular for centuries. Mm-hmm. You do it without thinking about it. If someone leaves a wallet behind on a table at a restaurant, mm-hmm. you say, oh, someone left their wallet. I'll go grab the waiter so that they know mm-hmm. that someone might come back for it.
Yeah.
If you don't know someone's gender, that's something that you're doing automatically often.
Yes.
And besides that, not that we need officially sanctioned validation yeah. for something to be legitimate, but the Merriam-Webster dictionary has confirmed they as a singular pronoun. The Chicago and MLA style manuals are like, yep, mm-hmm. they as a singular is legit. So validated.
Yeah. And we never talked about this when we were planning for the podcast, but you might be coming up against phrases like Latinx or MX for is the gender neutral version of Mr. or Mrs. So it's pronounced meeks. Like, you might already be seeing this pop up and just not know what it's connected to. So they as a singular pronoun, or you might see an X in place of an A or an O where languages tend to gender with those vowels. Something that we also want to kind of myth bust is this idea that there are only two genders, that it's like this solid, hard biological fact, male hormones, female hormones, male body parts, female body parts. Like, we really want to bust that open. Yes, there is some biological evolution and like wiring stuff that is connected to human development, but there's also much, much more variation genetically and biologically than people really acknowledge or are even aware of.
That would be maybe referring to folks who are intersex, but actually sex and gender
yeah,
are two totally different
things. Yeah.
There's infinite variations that we may or may not know about in biological sex. Sex is what you have internally or in between your legs. Mm-hmm. Gender is how you identify what's in your ears, in your head, in your heart, mm-hmm. right? So there's also infinite variations in genders.
Yeah.
And most people identify as either a man or a woman, but there have historically and culturally been a bunch of other in-betweens or entirely separate than or passing in between
yeah.
two or three or more genders.
Yeah.
It's not something that is new, and the very firm, rigid idea of two genders we could even tie to colonialism
yeah.
and the erasing of indigenous or other non-binary gender identities.
Yeah.
Or just folks who have identified that way or would have identified that way if they had had the words or the language in
the past.
And
the safety.
And the safety.
Safety. Just some examples off the top of our head. Two-spirit folks within Native American cultures, in other cultures throughout the world, Hawaiian culture, like their gender is just so much more fluid and it's not as fixed as it is in the way that we really see pushed so heavily in the mainstream. I think especially now, when a lot of conversations around like being politically correct and social media use and social justice activism and, you know, whatever other terms, social justice warriors or snowflakes, etc. I think there's this idea that gender is now like to talk about being trans or to identify as non-binary or genderqueer or agender. There's like this idea that either people are doing it because they're asking for attention or that folks are doing it because they want to feel special or that it's something that's new or trendy. And one, we've already kind of talked about the fact that it's not new or trendy. It's very, very old and ingrained and in our bodies. And then two, like as we start to talk about the systemic impacts of being out and identifying as trans or non-binary, like the violence that you are subjected to, it's not trendy to be subjected to violence.
Nah.
Like that's just a really lazy argument.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that on a continuum from the micro invalidations that I mentioned when folks misgender me. To misgender someone is to use their incorrect pronouns or describe them with a term like man or woman that they don't subscribe to. From those to outright murder of trans folks.
And because they're trans, like we need to be like really clear that folks are being killed because people have a hatred and a fear that incites this particular kind of violence, not because trans folks have done anything to warrant that kind of treatment.
And it ties in with misogyny and with toxic masculinity
and
patriarchy and homophobia and often racism as well. And these things are not separable, as always.
We always say it's integrative, not additive. And we'll kind of touch on some other things. Like, I think there's just this big misconception that in talking about wanting to bust open the gender binary that, you know, I think people who identify as cis men or cis women, there's this fear that like, oh, people want to destroy men and women and people, you know, people don't want to let men be men or women be women anymore. And like, it's not that simple. You're oversimplifying something. Y'all can be men or women, and the conversation is about allowing other folks to live fully in their identities with safety and dignity and respect at the same time. It's not either or, it's very much both and.
Just let other people live their own lives. To quote another one of my favorite recent podcasts, She's All Fat, it cost you exactly $0 to, or maybe that was on Call Your Girlfriend. They're both great. Look up those podcasts. But it costs you exactly $0 to respect someone's choices about themselves, their existence, their body, and to just mind your own business and be kind.
And all you really risk is discomfort or making a mistake. And like a lot of like what we talk about in this podcast is trying to move away from perfectionism and being willing to make mistakes and risk discomfort.
So actually, before we move on to some of the more structural things, that's a good time to mention like, so if you are someone who knows me and you now have listened to this podcast and you know that I use they, them pronouns, or if you knew it in the past and you've been struggling with it, it's okay.
Yeah.
I know that that shift is hard. What would be the most impactful and most helpful and wonderful to me is if you just, oh, Heidi, I saw Heidi yesterday. She was making cupcakes. Oh, sorry. They were making cupcakes. Anyway, I heard that they were going to make these amazing chai latte cupcakes. They're going to be delicious. Just autocorrect yourself, like autocorrect in Microsoft Word, just like, and keep going. And I'll know that you're trying and it'll mean so much to me. Oftentimes folks feel the need to overcorrect and make a bit of a show of it. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm trying. I'm trying. It's just so hard for me. It's really, really terrible and hard for me to try to remember what you need to feel like a good person. It becomes this show. And I get that impulse because you want to be seen as a good person.
And no one wants to make mistakes. No one wants to mess up. But it really just makes it, it draws more attention to the matter rather than being this kind of like seamless, like, oh, I messed that up. I'll try again next time.
And also, it's really important for you, the cis person or the ally, to be the one remembering to make that. Because oftentimes if someone misgenders me, I don't speak up, and it's not because I'm okay with them using she, her pronouns for me. It's because I'm still really working and learning to feel worthy and valid in this identity.
Yeah.
And it's, again, for me, it's a calculating a risk of, if I bring this up, will it be, oh, Heidi bringing this stuff up again? Like, mm-hmm. it's all about this issue all the time, mm-hmm. or someone to fight me on it, or just to feel like I'm an annoyance, yeah. or self-worth.
A burden.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff comes up.
Heidi and I talked about this a lot, kind of like Heidi's process around, like, is it worth it for me to risk the energy, the exhaustion, sometimes the emotional safety to mention, hey, this is hurting me, or could you do something different? Could you try something different? And then I was talking about, on the flip side, as someone who is a friend and someone who loves and supports you, like, it's then on us as allies or friends or loved ones to say, like, what is the discomfort I'm willing to risk to say that it is worth the discomfort, it is worth me making some mistakes to actually affirm someone's identity and, again, love them, respect them in the way that they're telling me they need to be loved. And it's been like, there have been moments of mistakes, like, and especially as Heidi and I do things in workshop spaces, and it's just like this self-correct, like, if she slips or if, like, I start to go shh, like, it's just really quick to be like, they. And I've even, like, got this relationship with some of my coworkers where I've tried to support in, like, calling in around using the wrong pronouns. And I have a very consensual relationship with one of our shared friends and coworkers where she's like, actually, can you tell me every time that I accidentally use she pronouns for Heidi? And I'm like, thank you. Thank you for the permission, because now I know you're not taking it personally that I'm going to, like, call you in. And now through the practice and being really open about that, we check each other and we take the time to educate and do the work with one another so that you don't have to be a part of that process and you don't have to spend your energy and labor in that way.
That means a lot, and I really appreciate that. And other people, if people want to say that exact sentence to me, and I won't always be able to do it, and I might have that self-worth stuff coming up.
Yeah.
But if you want to say, Heidi, look me in the eye and say, I mean it, correct me every time, that says that you're willing to risk that. And I read online the other day something I liked, which is, practice with your pet. If you don't have another person to practice with, be like, talk to your cat and be like, hey, cat, I hung out with my friend Heidi today. They did this and then they did that. And your cat will be like, yes, give me a treat, please.
Like I said, like, just as someone who has been on the flip side of this, like, on the supporting side of it, for me, it has never been a question of, like, is it worth it to risk the discomfort? It's been just switching my own mental processes to really include they as a plural. And it's been just practice. And it's gotten so secondhand for me. And I think that's part of, like, why we want to talk about pronouns, because it's so accessible. A lot of what we try to talk about on the podcast is ways to engage with social justice issues where you don't need to go to college for it. You don't need to sign up for some 3-day weekend workshop or conference. Like, these are things that are right in our own pockets and tool belts that we can put into practice now. Which feels like a good segue to really start talking about, like, the systemic and the structural impacts and why this is such an imperative.
We're going to talk through some of the impacts of transphobia, which should be read not as fear of trans people, but hatred of trans people.
Yeah. Shout out to Adrian, Marie Brown, and Autumn Brown for talking about how phobias aren't really phobias, like fat phobia or transphobia or Islamophobia. It's really, like, hatred of particular groups of people.
One that's been trending in the media for the past 2 years or so is the idea of bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm someone who can get by in a woman's bathroom without being challenged for that. That's not true for all non-binary people or trans people. But that's still, when there's only women or men's bathrooms available, that feels like a micro invalidation for me. So I still feel discomfort if I'm choosing to go into a women's bathroom rather than a unisex or gender neutral bathroom.
And that makes me question, like, what would the safety impact be if you had to go into a men's bathroom?
Right.
You know, there is a question there that it ranges from, you know, a question around discomfort to, like, a very real possibility and reality of violence.
Exactly. So I'm going to use myself as examples for most of these, 'cause that's the best I can speak to. Mm-hmm. But I'm coming from a place where I do have a lot of relative privilege and safety in my whiteness, for one, and in relatively supportive friends, family, and coworkers. Mm-hmm. So I'm still experiencing a lot of these things on an emotional level, but I'm very lucky that very rarely, if ever, do I feel physical safety is a risk. But that's not true for everyone.
And that's like a moment to just uplift a term that maybe you've heard before, maybe not. But, like, one could argue that like you have passing privilege, like you can get by and pass as a cisgender woman as a safety thing, whereas some folks who are trans or non-binary don't have that ability to pass as a particular gender or perform a particular gender in such a way that there aren't questions or eyebrows raised.
Yeah, I think that's an important one to raise up. I would also challenge, though, it is privilege in a way, but it's also not, because
yes, absolutely.
I don't want to pass as a woman, and I feel very uncomfortable when people read me as a woman mentally and psychologically. So it's that push and pull.
Yep, you're right. Thank you for uplifting. Like, it's not that black and white. It's a little more complex than that. And just to close out that conversation about the bathroom debate, like there's this argument, I think, within very conservative spaces or whatever the spaces that challenge, you know, gender inclusivity in the bathroom. Like there's this idea that trans folks are the danger in those scenarios, that if trans people are allowed to use the bathrooms that they align with, that they are the threat to the little kids in the bathroom or the, you know, the poor defenseless woman in the women's bathroom, when in reality, trans people face violence exponentially greater within those settings than cis people. So it's trans people who actually have the most to fear and the most to lose within this bathroom conversation.
Absolutely. That's one structure, bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Not that this makes sense linearly, but the next one on our list is clothing. So clothing is rigidly really, really binary. Mm-hmm. You shop in the men's section or the women's section 99% of the time. And for me, I'm also a plus sized. I'm a fat person. I'm a smaller fat. I can still shop in some stores, but I cannot find clothes easily at all that simultaneously fit my gender presentation and fit my hips and my chest.
Yeah.
And that can be an intensely emotionally challenging, like sit on the floor of a dressing room in Kohl's crying for 20 minutes type experience for me.
And then there's like clothing items, or I don't want to call them accessories, things that can be purchased and worn to greater affirm your identity. So like binders for trans men, which bind your chest. It's like what it sounds like. So then there are all of these additional things to like affirm someone's gender identity that cost money.
A lot.
Like they're, you know, having this conversation about clothes moves us into an accessibility conversation and a financial accessibility conversation.
Exactly.
Which also, like if we're thinking about very basic things like using the bathroom, needing to buy clothes in this world, there's also like documentation that we need to live. We all have driver's licenses if we're able to drive, or passports. And so for trans folks who need to change, like there's this whole process to changing your name, to being able to list your gender identity if it's different from the gender that you were assigned at birth or the sex that you were assigned at birth. And these things cost money. They involve interaction with the systems. Like if you don't have an ID that matches your gender presentation in this moment and you get pulled over by the cops, or you know, there's real safety issues that come up from not having your ability to travel, like your ability to get on a plane if your ID photo is different from your gender presentation. Like there are real structural barriers that then can impact your ability for employment, your ability for housing, because there's still so much stigmatization, there's still so much discrimination that people can discriminate in employment and housing.
Oh yeah, it's something like only, I always mess up my numbers, but I think it's only like 13 states or something actually have protection for trans people and for gender presentation and expression and identity in their non-discrimination clauses. Maryland is one of them, I believe, so that's lucky. But in my home state of Missouri, gender identity is not protected in state or federal law. So people can evict you or fire you because of your gender.
And even if it's codified in law, like then there's the whole enforcement thing,
right,
which is a completely separate conversation. Like it might be, you know, written and documented that this is what the protections are, but to actually see those lived into, there's often a discrepancy there.
And then we mentioned briefly more explicit forms of violence. Brittany, I don't know if you have any of the stats open, but trans people and non-binary people. So also just a quick sidebar is that non-binary people, some identify under the umbrella of trans, others don't. It depends on you identify as a trans non-binary person. But those people are at much, much higher risk of sexual violence and at higher risk of death by homicide and suicide.
Yeah. And we talked about kind of the intersectionality with race here. More than 80% of trans people in the United States are trans women of color. Excuse me, murdered trans people are trans women of color. So there is this issue where not only are trans folks being killed because of their identity, but there is a disproportionate impact for trans women of color. And so, like, within the Black Lives Matter conversation, there's also a conversation around Black trans lives matter. And their trans folks, trans women of color, trans people of color are also at increased risk for sexual violence too. You know, for trans people of color who engage in sex work or survival sex work, there is increased risk, you know, for rape and sexual assault not being believed. It's just very real systemic impacts that are very much connected to how do we respect people's identity? How do we affirm them? How accessible do we make it for people to live in alignment with their identities?
So there's good news. There are things you can do for exactly $0, and that's what we're going to spend on our last few minutes. I want to shout out, we're pulling these tips for trans and non-binary allies directly from a guide that was put out by Lush Cosmetics, which is a fabulous natural beauty products store that you should def check out. You might have seen their bath bombs featured on social media, but they also do really good social activism work. So we're going to read from their guide.
One of them being, it's just so simple. Don't tolerate disrespect. Like, if you see someone or hear someone being misgendered, like, those are really great opportunities for you. Again, something that's very accessible to you, that is a lot less risk for an ally or a cis person than it is for a trans or non-binary person, where you just uplift that. Don't let it go. If you hear jokes that are misogynistic or trans misogynistic, you just speak up.
We mentioned this before, but respect folks' pronouns. If you know someone's pronouns, do your darndest to remember them and get them right. And it's okay if you mess up. Just gently correct yourself and move on.
And really commit to keep doing it. Even if you keep making mistakes, commit to the process, commit to mistakes are going to happen and I'm going to keep doing this even though it's uncomfortable. And also be patient with people who are questioning their gender identity and really, like, validate people. You know, I think it could be easy for folks to invalidate someone's experience by, like, well, you've lived your entire life this way and, like, all of a sudden it's an issue. Like, you don't actually know that. You don't know anyone's internal landscape. You don't know their environment. You don't know what barriers or whatever term you want to use. You don't know what's existed for a person where maybe they haven't been able to grapple with this. Maybe you just be patient with folks. Like, I can't just say enough, like, how humbling it has been to be your friend and to, like, be a part of your evolution as things become clearer and more solidified for you. So
thank you. All right, next one we talked about already. Don't police public bathrooms. If you see someone and you're like, I don't know if you belong in this bathroom, keep it to yourself. They're making the choice that's best and safest or right for them. Yeah. And if you see someone else, like, about to go in on someone else who's maybe in the, quote, wrong restroom, engage that person who might be a target in conversation. Be like, oh, hey, I like your skirt. Or, ugh, these stupid things. The water doesn't come out when I put my hand under them. We can all relate to that conversation, right?
And a lot of folks will tell you that. Like, you don't have to engage with the person who is potentially aggressing or causing harm. Just engage with the person who needs to be protected. And then you both can come out a little bit safer. Don't assume you can tell if someone is trans. Don't assume that based on someone's name or how they present themselves that you know what their gender is.
And be careful about confidentiality with folks and outing them. So I'm clearly, like, telling everyone on this very public podcast my pronouns and my gender identity. So feel free. You can talk to people about my pronouns. But if someone tells you their pronouns and you're not sure if they're out to other people, check with them. Because, again, that safety thing about you don't know who has the power to hire or fire or impact their lives in other ways. So if you're not sure who they're out with, double check.
Yeah. And again, just a really accessible one in addition to respecting people's pronouns is start to try and incorporate gender neutral language into your everyday vocabulary as much as you can. If you're referring to pets or, you know, others, you can use they pronouns. You can figure out ways to say the male person instead of the male man. There's all sorts of areas in which you can try to throw in gender neutral language.
Avoiding ma'am and sir instead of ladies and gentlemen, honored friends and guests. There's ways, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Folks has become, like, one of my favorite things, one of my favorite words to use in my everyday now. And then the last one that we want to uplift is, like, keep it appropriate. Like, I have seen some really horrible interactions happen, like with cis folks asking about trans people's genitalia and just like really inappropriate things, using their dead names or like the name that they were assigned at birth that they no longer go by. So really be mindful and be respectful when you're speaking with folks.
Be kind. Treat people the way they want to be treated.
Yeah, the platinum rule.
Yes. So we are very much out of time. Thank you for being with us on this conversation today. Real quick plug, if you're listening to this before April 7th and 8th, HopeWorks is doing an amazing theater piece called Telling This Truth, and we are encouraging people of very diverse backgrounds to audition with a 3 to 5 minute version of your story. So visit HopeWorks' website, wearehopeworks.org/events, for more information on that. We hope to see you at the auditions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.